Hello again, and welcome to another NABBW teleseminar on a topic we boomer women want to know about, Americans and retirement savings, getting our financial houses in order as we look toward retirement. This evening, we are continuing to pursue our effort to help boomer women get a handle on how we can save more toward our retirement. This is a topic we've looked at in various ways before, but it's a hugely important one, considering that research shows 50% of Americans have not saved for retirement and therefore are feeling anxiety about it. We're not the only folks looking into this, of course. As I did my research for this call, I noted that among the other articles that I found with facts and information about this, I saw that back in 2013, as part of a special called New Adventures for Older Americans, PBS NewsHour reported on this issue, and their findings also included the factoid that half of American households have less than $10,000 in savings. Now, considering how much, Pam, that you're talking about savings, this is just a shocking number to me, and I really thought that we had to discuss it and to bring that out. So I thought, if you wouldn't mind, I'd take a moment and take a quote from Paul Solomon, who was the program presenter on that call, because it was just – or that television show, because it was just amazing to me. You know, he's a well, I'll just read it, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm Paul Solomon of the PBS NewsHour. At age 68, I'm one of over 30% of Americans still working, but I'm hardly alone. I never imagined that I would work in journalism, as I now have, for over half a century. Never thought I would work that long at all. And yet, though I have plenty to otherwise keep me thoroughly engaged, including 5 grandchildren within 20 minutes of the house and 2 more on the way, I work 2 jobs teaching my brand of real-world economics to the NewsHour audience as the show's economic correspondent and to college students at Yale and elsewhere. Moreover, I intend to keep working until I'm shown the door. The gratification I get from work may be somewhat atypical, but as this older worker project of ours confirms, more Americans than ever, including more and more of my junior colleagues in the baby boom, are staying on the job past the old, quote, retirement age. In my current 65 to 69 age range, fully 50% more workers are still active than was the case just 20 years ago. What's more, the portion of people working past 75 has more than doubled since 1993. So here's the question. Has retirement as we know it become a thing of the past? How long are we likely to work and why? Will we be happy on the job or grimly counting the dollars and the days until retirement? Okay, that's what Paul Solomon had to say, and now it's me again. And what I have to say is, given that Paul was speaking as part of the PBS NewsHour, we have to trust his numbers, I think, but those were some pretty shocking numbers. And I also think that we need to recognize that if these facts related to savings and older workers are true, then we're addressing a critical topic. So given that, let me introduce myself, because I jumped right into this without saying anything about who you're listening to here. My name is Ann Holmes. I'm your moderator and the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, an organization dedicated to educating and empowering women at midlife. This call, like those we do every month, is one of the ways we serve our membership. I'd like to take a moment now to introduce our guest expert, Pamela J. Sams, CRPC, a Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor and NABBW's Retirement Planning Associate, so that we can start our discussion titled Americans and Retirement Savings, How to Turn the Tide. Pam, NABBW's, I'm still introducing you. I'm not supposed to ask you questions yet, so let me get back to that. As NABBW's Retirement Planning Associate, you're an expert in personal finance and a frequent teleseminar guest. You always cover important information related to money and financial planning, which, as we've just said, is something too many of us boomer women don't know enough about. Let me say a little bit more about you for our listeners. Professionally, Pam is president of Jackson Sams Financial Services, a financial planning and wealth management firm located in Herndon, Virginia, near the Dulles Corridor. There, she focuses on helping women understand the importance of financial and retirement planning by placing our needs first. Pam firmly believes sound investment management starts with understanding each woman's goals. In fact, she insists that before any investment decisions can be made, Pam says that her clients need to work through a personal financial plan, so the whole picture is visible before any plans can be made. A graduate of the University of Missouri Columbia, Pam holds an MBA in financial management from Everett University. She's earned several client service and financial planning awards and successfully earned her CRPC, Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor Certification, through the College of Financial Planning. In the past, Pam and I have talked about the important topics such as how couples are retirement challenged because they haven't made time to sit down and really talk about their goals and dreams. We've also discussed how boomers aren't doing a good job of planning the financial strategies that we'll need to make retirement possible. And so as a result of our prior discussions, Pam and I have been having a discussion at least once a month for well over a year now, and if you'd like to hear any more of our past discussions, you'll find them on the NABBW.com website. But as a result of these calls, Pam and I are very aware of two things. Americans are living longer, and as a group, we're not prepared to retire. So with that introduction, thank you again for joining us tonight, Pam.
Thank you very much for having me, and this is a very exciting topic. I think as we were preparing for this call, I told you this is a juicy one that a lot of people, you see articles of and specials, as you mentioned before, about this particular topic, because it is going to be a challenge, and quote-unquote, mm-hmm. people are calling it a crisis because of those numbers that you had cited before. Boomers, probably the statistic I saw was age 52 to 64 has less than, you know, between 10 and 12,000 saved for retirement, which is probably not going to cut it. As you know, on previous phone calls, we've addressed coming up with a retirement number. So it's a challenge, and I'm really, you know, glad that we're able to talk about this topic today.
I'm glad that we are too. It's just so frightening to think that so many of us have reached the age as baby boomers. We've reached the age where we're starting to see, you know, retirement is no longer way off in the future. It's you know, kind of just over the hill if we were going to go with a traditional 65 age retirement. But as we've just been discussing, a lot of us, we can't see how we could possibly afford to do that. And in the further challenges, as we've already discussed in other calls, but we need to bring into the whole discussion here again, is the fact that we're living longer. So we're not trying to make sure that we have enough money to live for 5 years after we retire, but we could be talking about 30 years after we retire that we are still going to be alive and needing to be able to provide for ourselves, or somebody's going to have to, and you know, I don't know too many of us that have a relative that's just going to come forward out of the past that we never knew about before and suddenly going to gift us with $1 million. So I don't know that's, you know, the magic wand type of solution is not going to be there for most of us. So therefore, I guess I'd say before we can address how to turn the tide and start putting more money aside, let's get to the really big questions. Why don't we start with why aren't we saving?
Well, Americans are probably not saving. You know, we went through, and I believe boomers, probably the age of let's get as much as we can, because we, as boomers, we had the what they call quote-unquote Bob Hope generation prior, what we consider people, our parents, that went through really tight savings and more keeping more of their money, so to speak. And we probably didn't want to have to live life like that. So when we got mm-hmm. money, boomers, we tend to spend more money.
Right.
And that's probably the crux of the problem, is that we grew up spending and having things and became mm-hmm. addicted to things. So that's why people aren't saving enough for retirement, because we're just putting it off, you know, not saving at all because we're putting it off saying, okay, you know, that's going to be 20, 30 years out. But now here we are on the horizon of retirement, and now we're thinking, oh, we didn't save. We were busy mm-hmm. spending and doing a lot of getting things that we just haven't been saving. And I mm-hmm. think that was, you know, part of economic booms and busts. You know, during the boom times, you know, you would get commercials and things on TV. You need this, you need the big house, you need the cars, you need all of these things.
Right.
And during the bust, then everybody starts to draw back up and say, oh, now we need to start saving. The economy's not doing as well. So those are some of the challenges, is that I think as a group, we as boomers have probably not saved towards retirement, thinking, oh, we're going to, you know, deal with that and address that in sometime in the future. And we have our present day situation where we want stuff and we want things. And then that was kind of how we prioritize things.
Right. There was always that keeping up with the Joneses thing where, you know, oh, they're going to go to Europe. Well, we should do that too. Or, you know, it's been kind of, I don't know if the word is insidious, but it just was just a part of our lives, you know, spending was
correct.
Part of what.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the first reason that we're not saving is simply that we're putting it off. We're saying
we've got
time
to
fill. Right. What else?
Well, you know, another reason, you know, as I was doing some research, and of course, as a financial planner, what I see a lot of times is that there are competing priorities in people's lives. Of course, you know, as you start out being a young worker, there's so many things that you're have to address, especially with the millennials that are coming out now. You know, they're saddled with student loan debt and they have credit cards and, you know, boomers, we have credit cards and we have mortgages and we have all of these different things that are a financial priority for us. So living in the present day, a lot of times, just like, you know, I mentioned before, we put it off because we have so many things that are on our plate financially that the retirement picture, if it's, you know, way off into, you know, the sunset, you know, if we're 30, we figure we have 35 years, I need to address the financial priorities right now in my life that I'm dealing with, you know, paying off credit cards, student loans, raising kids, putting money away for college, all of those sort of things that retirement gets put on the back burner. And not until it becomes closer, like I said, to the crux of being on the horizon of retirement, do people really start to say, oh, maybe I should. And that mark, and what I see a lot of time in my practice, it's usually right at around 40, 45 is where people start to wake up. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I really need to kind of, you know, do this a little serious because now I'm dealing with maybe 15 or 20 years versus that 30, 35 years that I was dealing with 10 years ago when I was in my 20s or 30s. So it becomes, it's more of a highlight when you get to a certain marker for that. But one of the other reasons that people aren't saving enough because we have a lot financially on our plate that we have to prioritize. But I'm really, you know, here to say retirement is a priority. I always encourage even young workers, millennials that come out, though they have a lot of student loan debt, if they have their job and they have 401k available to them, get started right away with your 401k. It's money that you won't see, you won't miss if you just shave a portion off and allocate that towards your long-term retirement. Even though you're not going to see it for, you know, another, you know, 30 or 40 years, that savings habit really helps. You know, that's one of the miraculous things that Einstein said, the theory of compound interest that works for you over the long period of time. So the earlier you get started with it, the better.
Well, that's excellent. Certainly, I could totally identify with all those competing financial priorities, and I'm sure anyone listening to this can think of all the priorities they've encountered in their own lives. So it's a real situation that I know. You know, my dad was one of those people that you're talking about. Was always telling me, you need to save 10% of your income, Ann, and you can do that. And I'm thinking, well, I can't do it this month, but maybe next month, you know, and then that just kept going and going every month. So I think a lot of people had that happen. So now, as we are getting to this age, as you and I have been alluding to, that retirement is starting to be over the horizon, I think that we would also have to look at that another challenge for why we're not saving might be lack of employment.
Yeah, that has become an issue as well in recent times, especially with unemployment rates being up. It's the statistic that I saw is about 42% of older people are employed at any given point in time. What happens is that, unfortunately, we have to make room for younger workers, and unfortunately, sometimes older workers are let go and unemployed. So not having an income, of course, will deter you from from saving for the future, because you're just really worried about how am I going to make the day-to-day part of it, and then you don't have access to retirement plans at that point if you don't have a job besides the regular IRAs and Roth IRAs. But the amount that you can put into those particular plans are not as much as you could put away if you were employed and had access to a 401k or some other type of vehicle that's available to you through your job. So not having a job and lack of employment or lack of adequate employment really stifles the retirement savings as well, especially for boomers who are transitioning from I had a job, now I'm going through a transition that I'm either been laid off or downsized or whatever they call it these days, and you don't have access to the retirement plan through work any longer.
Well, that's absolutely true. And as I started to know a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that you and I were going to do this call, I started doing a little bit of research, as you did too. One of the things I looked at was the want ads, the help wanted ads in Sunday papers, and I was really surprised because I haven't looked at them for ages. But I was really surprised to see that if I, with my skill set, were to be looking in those papers right now for a job, I probably wouldn't find anything that I would think that I was going to be qualified to do, because it seemed to me, and this is, in my part of the Midwest, and that's probably different in other parts of the country, but it seemed to me that I was seeing a ton of jobs, pages and pages of jobs that were related to healthcare. But I have no healthcare skills, so since I have no knowledge of healthcare other than maybe I could write reports for, about medical issues or something like that, but I have not got any certifications or qualifications to be in healthcare. The other jobs that I seem to be finding a lot of, and I don't know that this follows around in the whole country, and I don't think probably it is, because I've been hearing from the federal government that employment is up and things are improving, but it seems like there's an awful lot of jobs related to trucking. Well, I don't really see myself as becoming an over the road trucker either, so. I think that I'm terribly happy that I'm self-employed and doing okay in this situation. But I find, as I was doing this research, that what else do we tell people that have become unemployed and they say I want to get a job? This looks to me like in some cases you would have to go back to school before you could get a job.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the reality of what we're working with in the United States now, is that certain skill sets are becoming in the forefront that you really have to retool and retrain for certain things.
Right.
So I see a lot
of
people, going
technology
back to school,
jobs
to do it.
Right.
I
forgot there were also like IT jobs, but my husband's an IT person, and I am not. That is not my strength at all. So I'm I'm glad to know that there's jobs for IT people. But once again, as I looked at the classifieds for the last month, we have 4 Sundays that I looked at the classifieds. I said, I don't see a single job here I could apply for. So that lack of employment, I think, must be a crushing thing if we are finding ourselves trying to save for retirement, and we're saying, well, how can I save? I don't have a job.
That's kind of the unfortunately the reality part of it. Out of that, what I have read as during research and just through the course of working with different people, is a lot of people are starting businesses out of I don't have a job. But starting a business also is takes some time and some money, and having enough to put away for retirement is also a challenge, being self-employed and having your own business as well. So, you know, that's one of those things you really have to, you know, if you find yourself unemployed, number one is if you want to continue to work and you are older, see if there are some opportunities for either our local community college to retool and retrain and perhaps some of these other areas that are hiring, you know, the healthcare, medical transcriptions, all of these different things as a possibility to continue your employment search.
Mm-hmm. Good points. Is there anything more that we should be covering on lack of employment, or should we move on to the next reason that we're not saving?
Yep, we can move on to the next reason.
Okay.
Another reason is really, as I mentioned before with the employment, is lack of access to a plan. So even if we are employed, what I read recently is 66% work for employers that don't even offer a savings program. You know, that's one of those things that has become quite a challenge with a lot of employers and employees. Employers just don't have, you know, especially if they're one of those companies that don't want to deal with all of the extra added expenses for providing a retirement plan to their employees. If they're smaller workers or if you work for a small business, they may not have the resources to offer a retirement savings plan. So what that leaves the employees with is saving outside of work again with smaller programs like Roth IRAs or IRAs that allow you to save maybe $5,500, maybe $6,000 a year versus, let's say, 15%, up to 15% or so of your salary, which would be a larger amount that you can save towards your retirement. So having lack of access really creates a challenge as well. And I believe, you know, those are one of the things that Obama has tried to address in his new budget is ways that the average Americans can save for retirement outside of their employers. So the My IRA plan, you know, some of the other things that in the budget try to address, I mean, the automatic savings if you do have a retirement plan through work, having the auto enrollment, and then you have to opt out if you don't want to, giving workers more incentive to start saving for retirement is one of those things that I believe congressionally and from the executive branch with the Obama in the budget trying to at least address what's going on with this this wave of retirement, lack of retirement savings that Americans are doing.
Right. Well, I certainly was pleased to hear him talk about that during his State of the Union address, and I certainly hope that we start to see it actually implemented. I don't know that it's actually been implemented at this point.
No, not at this time, but it's one of the line items. I know.
Right.
You know, it's, and I think we had this conversation before when we did a Social Security call, is that, you know, everything has to go through Congress, and people are well aware that these are issues that Americans are dealing with, and that is going to become a, you know, an issue down the road. So we have to start addressing these things sooner rather than later and, you know, putting it on the agenda to address is at least the first step on how do we how do we deal with the lack of retirement savings, because that goes kind of hand in hand with the Social Security conversation that we had a few months back, is that if we don't have people who have adequately saved for retirement, that's going to put a lot of burden on the Social Security system, because that's going to be the only one of the only resources that we have available to us, at least a guaranteed source of income.
Right.
And so having that being pressure put on the Social Security system as well will need to be addressed some way or another through congressional budgets on how are we going to deal with the extra influx of the what we call it, the gray tsunami, the silver tsunami mm-hmm. of boomers retiring, and how do we deal with mm-hmm. Social Security and then also people who have not adequately saved for retirement.
Right. So maybe in an odd way, the fact that we aren't quite prepared, it goes hand in hand with the reason that people are working longer because they can't afford to retire. So I guess it's all
that's one of the reasons why I know the moderator for the PBS Paul mentioned, you know, basically having 2 or 3 jobs, it was because he really wanted to work. And some people mm-hmm. aren't that privileged. They're more of, I really have to work in order to continue to pay the bills and I can't afford to retire. I get that a lot mm-hmm. of times. People come to me and, you know, it's feeling that, you know, what we had called before, a little anxious about retirement, is that, you know, that's kind of the first thing out of their mouths. Like, I'm not even sure if I can retire at this point because mm-hmm. I'm so far behind the curve. So really trying to find ways that they could, you know, save for retirement is one of the things that I do for my mm-hmm. clients as well. But, you know, then again, we're at the point where people are living longer. So is age 65 the magic number anymore? You know, I always read mm-hmm. 70 is the new 65 and 75 is the new 70, and people are mm-hmm. living longer, you know. And then I believe the conversation has been also around, do we push Social Security up to age 70 versus, you know, the 65, 66, the incremental parts of claiming mm-hmm. Social Security? Is because people are living, you know, longer. Should we move actually Social Security up to age 70 in order for people to save more, you know, have more access to the Social Security program, where that money gains interest if you don't claim it earlier than mm-hmm. if you had waited to age 70, even if you're going to work anyway. So that's kind of what we're dealing with, is the retirement savings, having people working longer because they have to. Some people have a choice. If they want to, they can. Some people continue to work because they have to. But, you know, are we also living longer where we could move that retirement age up as well?
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to think that it's going to have to move up, but I'm not a legislator and don't have as many facts as you would have or some of them might mm-hmm. have. So, but I would not be surprised if it moves up. But let's get back to, are there other reasons that we aren't saving? I think we've covered 4 reasons. Have we covered 4 or 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've covered 4.
Okay. So lack of eligibility.
No, not on that. Mm-hmm. Eligibility. And that goes kind of hand in hand with a little bit hand in hand with access to it. Mm-hmm. If you have people who are, let's say, either low income or they have part-time jobs or they're not working enough hours, they may not be eligible to contribute to the employer retirement plan, which mm-hmm. is only for full-time employees. So having a certain amount that you're only working on a part-time basis or limited hours and you don't qualify, quote-unquote qualify mm-hmm. for full-time employees, as a full-time employee, that could really deter from your retirement savings because you're not eligible for it. Or sometimes is that you have to be on the job for a certain period of time before you're eligible to contribute to the plan, because they want to make sure you're going to be there. So especially if they're contributing their dollars, because a lot of employers do what they call a match. So if that person's mm-hmm. not going to be there a year from now, they really don't want to invest that money into you if you're not going to be there. So some employers, even if you are full-time, will say, hey, you need to be here at least 14 months, 18 months, or whatever the case may be, to be eligible for our retirement plan. And then you can start, and then we'll start matching, you know, for you. So there may be some gaps where you may not be eligible for the retirement plan through work because of tenure at the job. Mm-hmm. And then also if you don't qualify because the number of hours, you may be categorized as a part-time or a seasonal or whatever type of worker, you may not be eligible for that particular retirement plan through work. So having that lack of eligibility as well really kind of takes away from the retirement savings for Americans as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially it's really frustrating, I think, for when you talk to people who have been working hard. They might be working two or three part-time jobs, but those two or three part-time jobs, none of them has the qualifications of a full-time FTE employee situation. Mm-hmm. So they lose out from any employer matching benefits, which is really a terrible thing. So clearly, that's a big reason for why we're not saving. And I think that there's one more important one that we should be talking about, and that's the lack of knowledge about different ways that are available to us to save. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Many workers, may not even know if, that they're eligible to enroll or if there's a retirement plan available. Hopefully HR are giving them the big packet when they first mm-hmm. become employees, that there is you do have access to a retirement plan and this is how you enroll. That's why I was explaining before the actual automatic enrollment into retirement plans. Before mm-hmm. it was, here's the stuff, this is what you have available to you, here are your benefits, and then go at it. So a lot of mm-hmm. workers may not even know that they even had it available to them because it was put on the employee to go and do all of these different things, go enroll for your 401k, sign up for your dental plan, whatever, all of these benefits. Right. And, your first day at work, you get all these things, you're just so confused, which one do I do, which one do I not do, that you may not even know that you have these things available to you, especially if you don't have the resources like, let's say, a financial planner or somebody that you can bend their ear for and say, hey, which way should I go with this particular mm-hmm. thing, plan, because you're just kind of thrown the HR material and the benefits and, you have to kind of chunk it out yourself and figure it out. So lack of knowledge on how do I enroll for the retirement plan and where do I go and do it and do we have access to it? Am I eligible for it? All of these different things really also deter from people saving for retirement, especially if they didn't know. I've actually had people that I've asked, do you have a retirement plan at work? And some people are like, I'm not sure. It's like, did you sign mm-hmm. up for it? Did they tell you? I'm not sure. Let me go ask. And so that could have been, years of mm-hmm. not saving for retirement, just not knowing if you had something available to you through work. Hopefully, I'm believing HR is doing a good job with telling people what their benefits are. But that's one of the things that I see a lot of times with employees is that they get a big benefit packet, and making sense out of it all is really a challenge. And so I go mm-hmm. through a lot of people's benefits with them, say, okay, you need this, you don't need this, you need this, you don't need that, to really go through and make educated decisions on what benefits, what you actually have available to you through benefits through work. A lot of times mm-hmm. people aren't aware of that because, HR gives them the information, but they're not, there to really help you make all of those decisions for you. They can tell you what's available to you, but, in your best interest on how, what health care insurance you need, what your deductibles should be, all of these different things, you really have to kind of do that on your own. And it can be a challenge and really kind of a big headache sometimes going through that big benefits package on what's mm-hmm. available to me and what I should be doing. And then they only give you like a short turnaround on when you can sign up for this stuff. So going through, the whole packet in a week and a half or 2 weeks or so, you could miss something like mm-hmm. a retirement plan if it wasn't disclosed to you that is one of the things that are available, that's available to you, and this is how you enroll and give you the instructions on how to sign up for it. And then also encourage you to sign up for it, like I explained before, with younger millennials and people who first get out of their job. That's kind of, you know, one of those things. If I'm have to put extra money away, I really need this to pay for something else, some of those financial priorities I was explaining before, they may not choose to even do that at all. So having the knowledge that it is available to them is one of the reasons why people may not be saving towards retirement as well.
Oh, especially I think if you think to some of the college loans that some of our young people are graduating with, I'm sure that one of their biggest priorities when they're first out of college is, you know, trying to get themselves established in a good job and then get those loans paid off. So I think
correct.
At that point, when you're so young, it's so easy to say, as we've already said at the beginning of this call, you know, oh, it's way, way in the future, retirement. So let me deal with paying down my college loans right now, and I'll get to the retirement thing later. And then of course, the kids come along, and you know, it's just one stage of life after another with the challenges to keep you from saving. It is something that you really have to be dedicated to keep the focus and make the savings. Okay.
Exactly.
So.
It definitely requires, you know, some focus, especially, you know, speaking to the young people out there, because there's so many different things going on, and you really want to make sure you pay down debt before you start doing that. But even putting that small amount away to even get the match from your employer is would be beneficial for the future.
Excellent. Well, I think those are six really good answers as to why we're not saving, and then I think both of us have laid out a good reason why we need to be. Especially, you know, to recap, we're living longer, so the money that we save after we stop working has to go for a longer amount of time. Some of us are, you know, with the fact that we're being healthy, maybe we don't want to retire. So then we get into a situation of, are we going to be working at a place when we get to retirement where our employer would let us stay on if we wanted to, or are they going to have, you know, do we have a mandatory retirement where then we have to figure out what to do after we're, so to speak, kicked out of the job because we retired.
Yeah, and those are some of the challenges that that people have to consider. You know, if we're talking about, you know, not people not saving enough, we also have to kind of go through, how do we start saving? how do we fix the problem? And that's always the age-old problem that I always get a lot, is that, okay, here I am, I haven't saved enough. Now retirement is on the horizon, what do I really do? And with any you know, advisor or any financial plan, you know, there's a few different ways to kind of address the situation. The first, of course, is always, can I save more? Are there ways that I can save more while I'm working? And this is, you know, comes from, you know, some of the other things that we've addressed in previous phone calls. Are there ways that I can reduce my spending? And that's kind of the where you go, is that if I have a savings goal and if I need to save more and I don't have, or at least I don't think I have the resources to save, are there ways that I can reduce spending? And that's one of the areas that I really discuss with people, is getting a budget. You know, here we are at the first part of a year. On everybody's list is always, I'm going to do better and get my financial house in order at the beginning of every year. And usually by the time January 31st rolls around, people have forgotten all about it and it goes back to usual. But I'm really here to tell you, it comes down to getting a budget in place and figuring out, are there ways that I can reduce my spending so I can save more? Are there ways I can pay down my debt and not accumulate more debt, and with that savings that I was paying to credit cards or debt becomes a savings tool for you. So freeing up cash flow is one of the exercises I go through with my clients as well. Are there ways that we could free up cash flow through reducing your spending, not overspending on certain things? Are there things in your budget where that is not necessary, that let's say you can give it up for a while in order to continue, to put more towards your savings while you're working? Mm-hmm. So the key is getting a budget in place and analyzing it and figuring out ways to reduce spending to save more. That's kind of the key, is how do I save more for retirement? You have to put a budget in place and figure out those dollars that you can allocate towards more retirement savings as well, especially for, you know, let's say you're a high income earner, and instead of buying things and stuff, as I explained before, are there ways that I could allocate those dollars for retirement? So the one is saving more. As we're going through a financial plan, how do I save more? The next one is, you know, I'm going to have to work longer. And then what does that look like? If I have to work longer to meet my retirement goal, or how can I live off of less than retirement? So I think, you know, in several phone calls, you know, throughout the years that we've been doing together, Anne, I know one of it has been, you know, can I relocate to a different location in part of the country? Or we'd also talked about, you know, places, you know, outside of the United States that people are looking at for retirement. So that could be a way to reduce retirement income needs, is relocate to another area that's not going to cost you as much, and or look at other areas in order to free up some cash flow. So instead of, you know, I'm right outside of the Washington, D.C. area, which is fairly expensive place to live,
it is.
Probably right. Wouldn't be retiring here. Would probably be looking at retiring someplace else in order to meet the lifestyle goals that I want, and, you know, have more money to in retirement instead of, you know, cost of living in certain areas. So those are some of the other things that you may want to consider when you're looking at how do I start. If I haven't saved enough, how long can my dollars last me? You also want to kind of look at different regions in across the country, or perhaps outside of the United States, that you can retire as well. And then, of course, working longer, and then, of course, saving more by reducing your spending and putting those dollars towards retirement savings as well. Mm-hmm. So those are, you know, some of the ways that, you know, people can start to address the lack of retirement savings as you start getting close to retirement, and really making those a priority on figuring out ways to free up cash flow to put towards retirement savings.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I think those are all good points. There's one thing that I think it's probably a whole topic of its own, so I don't want to delve too far into it, but I'm thinking that some people listening to this might be thinking about it, so I'd like to say a little bit about the concept. When we're talking about working longer and the concept, it seems like all the time I'm seeing, and maybe it's just because I know a lot of entrepreneurs and I know a lot of people who do online businesses, but it seems to me all the time I'm seeing people sending me emails talking to me about, you know, this great way that I can make money at home, you know, with using my computer and maybe some knowledge that I have. And I'm intrigued with this concept, but I'm also feeling that it's something that people have to be very cautious about, because too many times I'm worried that people would spend their savings that they have, you know, the limited savings that they have, with the goal of, you know, trying to get trained to do something online that's really going to be successful for them, and yet perhaps it wouldn't be. So in your position as a financial advisor, when people come to you with a situation like that, what's the way that you handle that?
Well, what I would really encourage people to do is, you know, do the research on these things. You know, there's a lot of fly-by-nights or scams or whatever, make money with your computer and, you know, pay me X amount of dollars and we can train you type thing. Right. So you have to make sure you do the research and make sure it is a legitimate business that you are considering. But then also, you know, as you, if you're going to start, you know, put the kind of the entrepreneurial hat on, you have to also consider what the cost benefits are. You know, if I'm going to put in X amount of dollars into this business, how much can I actually make out of it after I'm trained?
Right.
And, you know, how much is the upkeep for, so sometimes, you know, if you have franchises or, you know, things that are require what they call a fee on an annual basis type thing, are you going to make enough money to compensate yourself to bring in enough income, but also cover the expenses that are required to keep
right.
The business in operation. So, you know, those are some basic things that you may want to consider is first making sure it's legitimate, it's not a scam, and that you're able to get into a business that, you know, you're not going to be taken for. But then also, if it is a legitimate business, making sure that you're able to compensate yourself the expenses that is required for that particular job, and it, are you going to be able to bring in enough resources to cover the business? And and if it requires anything that's going to be a significant part of your retirement, you know, you should probably consult with your advisor to make sure if you are going to take out a slice of your retirement savings for an opportunity, have them run the numbers for you, kind of the financial plan with the reduction in your retirement savings, and then how much on the other end can you make up with this business opportunity, and see what comes out of that particular scenario. So you definitely want to run some numbers when you start thinking about if you're going to use resources away from retirement in order to kind of an opportunity cost. That's what you want to do. Make sure whatever I'm going to lose on this end, I better make it up and make more from it.
Right.
If you're not in that position to do that, then you should probably not pursue that particular opportunity. But I would probably consult your advisor to run the numbers.
Right. That's exactly what I was just going to say. Something else that I heard you say in there that I thought we really need to bring out is not to be rushed into something when someone comes to you with an offer that you've got to do this right now or this opportunity is going to be lost. You know, it's going to, if it's a legitimate opportunity, I believe what you're saying and my understanding would be that if it's legitimate, it can wait long enough for you to consult with those advisors who can help you do the research to make sure that it's a up and up opportunity.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else that we should talk about to advise and cover with the situation of Americans and the fact that we haven't been saving enough and how we can fix it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have addressed many of the reasons why we're not, you know, and you can probably read any particular publication or, you know, look at any show and, you know, they can tell you statistics on what's going down with the retirement savings. It's basically on the other side of that towards the end of our conversation that I explained. If you feel that you're in a position where you have not saved enough, what can you do right now in order to number one, see where you are in relationship to your goals, and then figure out ways that you can save more towards retirement.
Right.
And I am a big proponent on figuring out what your budget is and looking at are there ways to reduce spending in order to save more for retirement. And if the numbers don't, you know, work out in that favor for you where you're not able to pinch enough pennies in order to do that, unfortunately, you may have to consider working longer in order to meet your retirement goals. But it's one of those things that needs to be in the forefront. A lot of times, you know, just like any other financial agenda or item that you have on your plate, you become a little nervous and have anxiety around it, and you want to kind of put your head under the sand like the ostrich syndrome, don't do that. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you start addressing these issues, even if it doesn't feel good right offhand. It's like, okay, I know I'm not saving enough for retirement, but what are the realities of the situation? What can I do right now instead of kind of burying it to and putting it on the back burner and saying that, you know, all of these issues and becoming anxious about it. You really need to start addressing the situation and figuring out ways in order to solve the problem versus kind of burying it.
Hello, I got cut off from the call. Well, let me say thanks everyone for joining us today for this great call with Pamela Sams. Sorry I got cut off from it at the end. If you have any questions after the call, please feel free to email them to Pam at pamela@jacksonsams.com. And if you'd like to know more about the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, you can find out about us in a number of places online, including our website, www.nabbw.com, our forum at boomerwomenspeak.com, and our Facebook page at facebook.com/nabbw. Thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. It was wonderful information that we provided, and it was a great call until the end when I got cut off.